Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Today is Thursday, December 10th. New developments coming from the FDA today about the first COVID-19 vaccine. We'll explain what's expected and why there's a new warning about the shot from the UK. Also, Hunter Biden is under investigation, why Facebook is facing a government lawsuit, and what scientists found about man-made materials on Earth. Plus, the SpaceX rocket's fiery landing, the most popular Google searches in 2020, and what to know about the first night of Hanukkah tonight. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Today, the first COVID-19 vaccine reaches its final step in the American vetting process. An FDA committee is holding an all-day meeting, and depending on how it votes at the end of it, the first vaccine doses could ship out as soon as tomorrow. Then the first Americans could start getting the shots by the weekend, though more likely on Monday. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's talk a little bit about today's meeting. A panel of experts will come together to talk just about the Pfizer vaccine, because Pfizer was the first drug maker to apply for FDA emergency use authorization. And by the end of the day today, there will be a vote. So far, it looks like the chances are good for authorization. Already this week, the FDA put out a report that said the two-dose vaccine provides benefits even after the first shot, and that cuts the risk of getting COVID-19 by about half. Then after getting the second dose, 3 weeks later, the vaccine was found to be 95% effective. And that's extremely high, much better than the flu shot. We've heard this before from Pfizer, but this time it's coming from the FDA scientists, so it's especially promising. There is a little bit of a downside, though. The FDA found side effects are common, especially in younger people. The most common complaint was fatigue, followed by muscle pain and joint pain, lasting for up to a few days. Severe reactions were very rare, and when they did happen, it was after the second dose. Also of note, in the UK, where it's already approved and started going out to the public this week, health authorities have now added a new warning to the Pfizer vaccine. It tells people prone to allergic reactions not to get it for now. That's because two healthcare workers had severe reactions after getting the shot. But to be clear, they both had a history of serious allergies. The UK's National Health Service says they're both recovering well. Still, more research is needed to know exactly what caused those reactions. Experts say for most people, though, this should not be a concern. Thousands of others have gotten the vaccine with minimal side effects. And back in the U.S., it's not likely any of these side effects would actually stop the FDA from giving the thumbs up. Then another one, the Moderna vaccine, will be going through the same approval process next week. In the meantime, though, the COVID-19 numbers continue to get worse. More than 3,000 new COVID-19 deaths were reported in the U.S. just yesterday. That's more than any other day since the pandemic started. And overall, nearly 290,000 Americans have now died from the virus. Some experts are blaming the spike on Thanksgiving travel and gatherings. Health officials say that's why it's so important to cancel in-person holiday parties or holiday travel this month if you haven't already. The U.S. Justice Department is apparently investigating President-elect Joe Biden's son, Hunter, over his finances. The AP says investigators are scrutinizing some of Hunter Biden's Chinese business dealings and other transactions. The investigation is not actually new. It launched back in 2018, but Hunter Biden just confirmed it yesterday. He said he just learned about the probe and that he's sure he's done nothing wrong. It's not clear exactly what's tied up in this investigation. Hunter Biden just says it had something to do with his, quote, tax affairs. Though Politico cited a source who said investigators in Delaware and Washington were also looking into potential money laundering and Hunter Biden's foreign ties. As of this morning, no comment from the Justice Department. Although two sources told the Wall Street Journal, this only has to do with Hunter, not Joe Biden. Remember, Hunter Biden has been a subject of controversy before. Lately, because he has a history of international business dealings in a number of countries, and President Trump and his allies have accused Hunter Biden of profiting off his political connections. Either way, President-elect Biden is promising to avoid even the perception of wrongdoing when he takes office. He told CNN his son will not be involved in any business that's in conflict or appears to be in conflict of his presidency. The timing is not great, though. The president-elect was expected to announce his attorney general pick next week, and that person could end up overseeing the Hunter Biden investigation if it lasts beyond January 20th. To be continued. A group of attorneys general from 48 states and territories, along with the federal government, is now suing Facebook. They say the social network abuses its power to crush smaller competitors. So they want a court to step in and force Facebook to break itself up, as in sell off Instagram and the messaging service WhatsApp. Facebook owns both right now. States also want Facebook to let them know before buying any other company worth $10 million or more. These antitrust lawsuits should not come as a total surprise. We've heard about these issues and concerns in congressional hearings before. And remember, just a couple of months ago, the Justice Department sued Google over abusing its dominance in online search and advertising. That case is still pending. As for Facebook, the company says the government is trying to punish successful businesses. It also pointed out that the government, specifically the FTC, allowed them to buy WhatsApp and Instagram years ago, so Facebook argues it should not go back on those deals now. Don't expect a quick ruling, though. The Washington Post says it could take years to resolve. Stay tuned. If there was a contest between humans and nature, it would seem humans are winning. A new study found the mass of all man-made materials now weighs more than all living things on Earth. Scientists looked at things like buildings, roads, machines, plastics, and other products that exist on Earth. They compared that to all plants, animals, and humans. They found that this year, for the first time, the things we're making surpass the things that come naturally. The lead researcher told the BBC, "We actually have a pretty big impact on the planet," and he says that should come with a shared responsibility. All right, we have much more news coming up, but first, this episode is brought to you by Fitbod. If you've ever gone to a gym without a clear plan, you know how overwhelming all of the different equipment can feel. Or without a plan at home, I know what it's like to just do a few exercises before you give up or get bored. That's why having a personalized fitness program through the app Fitbod can be so helpful. It takes all the guesswork out of planning a workout and helps you stay on track based on your goals. In fact, Fitbod's algorithm factors in your goals, your experience level, equipment available from a full gym to just your own body weight, and crafts the perfect total body workout program for you. And it gets smarter the more you use it. I like that I don't have to think about what to do. I just open the app and start the workout. And it even has videos to show me each one if I'm not sure how to do it. Plus, I'm using my at-home weights and bands in new ways that help keep things fresh. So get a personalized fitness plan that helps you work out smarter at fitbod.me/newsworthy and try Fitbod for free for an entire month. Again, that's fitbod.me/newsworthy. To get one free month, go to fitbod.me/newsworthy. All right, now back to the news. A SpaceX rocket crashed into the ground and exploded. But believe it or not, the company still calls this a win. No one was on board when it happened yesterday, and the rocket was just a prototype. During yesterday's test launch, the rocket reached 40,000 feet in altitude before turning around to land. But just before it touched down, it crashed and burst into flames. SpaceX founder Elon Musk still calls this a success because the rocket successfully completed several tasks while in the air, including one where it flips around to prepare for landing. So Musk says, quote, "We got all the data we needed." And he's hoping to perfect the Starship to possibly take humans to Mars in as little as 6 years. Boeing 737 MAX jets are officially back in service. Brazil's Gol Airlines became the first in the world to start using them again for flights with paying passengers on board. It's been nearly 2 years since the aircraft was first grounded around the world following two deadly crashes. The FAA has cleared it to fly as of last month, and Brazil's aviation agency also gave it the okay, both after Boeing made some software changes and beefed up pilot training. So yesterday, one of the MAX jets took passengers between two cities on Brazil's eastern coast. The trip lasted about an hour and 15 minutes, and Gol Airlines reported no trouble. Other carriers are expected to follow suit soon. American Airlines has said it plans to reintroduce the MAX jet by the end of this year. Southwest Airlines says it will bring them back in mid-2021. Google is lifting its ban on political ads today. Remember, it barred them starting on Election Day, November 3rd, because it was worried about misinformation. It did not want candidates or political parties to buy ads that declared victory too early. It also did not want people to use them to stir up confusion about the integrity of the election. Now, Google says even though it's lifting the ban, it vows to, quote, rigorously enforce its ad policies. So the company says it'll keep blocking political ads that have false information in them. Well, speaking of Google, the search engine released its list of the most popular search terms of 2020. And no surprise here, the terms coronavirus and election results made the top of the list. Other popular searches were for Kobe Bryant, Joe Biden, stimulus checks, and Zoom. Google has also broken down the most searched into categories like TV shows, actors, or recipes. So TV shows, Tiger King took the crown since it was a massively popular docuseries that came out on Netflix back in March, right as people were stuck inside at the start of the pandemic. For actors, Tom Hanks came in first, probably because he was one of the first high-profile Americans to test positive for COVID-19. He also hosted SNL and had a movie come out called Greyhound. And then for recipes, Dalgona coffee was searched the most. The whipped coffee drink has been a popular comfort food trend on TikTok. Also, questions about how to cut your own hair were popular all year. Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, also known as the Festival of Lights. It lasts 8 nights, and it's celebrated by Jewish people around the world. People traditionally spend the holiday by lighting candles on a menorah. On the first night, only one candle is lit, but one more is added each night until all 8 are burning. People also celebrate with prayer, food, games, and gift exchanges. Hanukkah begins at sundown tonight and will last through sundown on Friday, December 18th. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today we're talking about the largest IPO of the year and what an IPO really means. But first, a quick break for our sponsor. If learning more and developing yourself is one of your goals for the new year, yet you don't want to have to commit to too much time since you're still pretty busy, then I recommend the app Blinkist. Blinkist takes the key insights from thousands of nonfiction best-selling books in more than 27 different categories and then creates just 15-minute text and audio explainers. These blinks, as they're called, get into a topic quickly, allowing you to get the info you need and get on with your day. Or sometimes I use them to figure out which books I actually do want to spend more time reading or listening to. And now they've also teamed up with some podcast creators that usually have really long episodes, so you can listen to their shows faster as well. They have best-selling books like Everything is Effed, a book about hope, or I'm a big fan of the popular Atomic Habits. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer. Go to Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. All right, now back to Thing to Know Thursday. First, an IPO is short for Initial Public Offering. On a basic level, it means a company started trading on a stock exchange like the NASDAQ, or in other words, they went from private to public ownership. You might have heard a lot about IPOs this week. Remember, DoorDash started trading yesterday and it did very well. And today, Airbnb is set to do the same. It's the largest IPO of the year and values the company at $47 billion. IPOs can give early investors a chance to make a killing. Sometimes prices for shares spike on opening day, and that's what happened with DoorDash. It rose 86% above its initial IPO price. But it can go the other way too. Like when Uber went public last year, the share price fell more than 7%. And that's why IPOs are often considered high risk. Still, a lot goes into the process before the public starts investing. Companies have to meet SEC requirements to hold an IPO. They have to let investors know all about their business, financial statements, potential risks, and plans for how cash raised will be used. So if you do the research, you can weigh the risks yourself. And that's your thing to know today. All right, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe in your podcast app to get new episodes for free each day. We'll be back tomorrow with more news to know. Until then, have a great day.